Well, I just want you to know how happy I am to be here with you today and how excited I am to be able to stand before you again and be able to deliver a message from God's Word. It is so good to see all of you, and I've enjoyed my time in Russia, but I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to be back here with all of you again, and I appreciate everyone that filled in on my behalf while I was gone, and I'm so thankful for the people here at this congregation that do such a wonderful job in so many different areas. And I'm just grateful to you so very much. And I wanted to share a letter with you today from the congregation at Syktyvkar and from the school there at Syktyvkar. And as I'm reading this letter, I want you to be reminded of what I mentioned earlier at the early service and what I mentioned at our elders and deacons meeting a little while ago, that the labor that was done in Russia was a labor that we all were involved in. We are all co-laborers together for any work that we get done. God gives the increase for everything, but we're working with one another. And if it weren't for all of you, and if it weren't for all of the prayers of support and all of the monetary support and all of the support in my absence while I'm gone to take care of many things that you do as good or better than I do when I'm here, if it weren't for you and this congregation and your support, these things would not be able to happen. And although I got the privilege to be able to go over there, I want you to know that you were with me. You went with me. And it was your love and our labor together for the cause of Christ. And so I wanted to read this letter to you this morning. To the brethren in the Flint Church of Christ in Alabama. Dear brethren, we want to say so many words of appreciation to our brother Chris Presnell for his commitment to the work of the Lord in the Syktyvkar Bible School. Chris always responds to the needs of the school and teaches a course that needs to be taught at the time he can come to Russia. This time students and the interpreters of the school enjoyed the course Christian Family, Physical Family, and Spiritual Family. Volumes of material, as you know. Chris always does a great job teaching at our school. It takes very special talent, teaching skills, and responsibility to be able to cover this material in such a short time. He teaches with great enthusiasm and zeal and encourages students' participation in the lessons and welcomes their questions and comments. We are grateful to him for all practical lessons in this course. It is an encouragement for us to have Brother Chris as one of our teachers and to see his example of a faithful servant of our Lord and his commitment to his word, his cause, and his Christian way of living. We are grateful to Chris's wife, Tara, for being an encouragement to his work in Russia. Dear brethren, we're thankful to you for being supportive of the cause of our Lord in Russia and helping Brother Chris to come and teach in our school. What a blessing it is for us to be a part of the spiritual family of our Father. May our Lord bless you in your service to Him with Christian love, workers and students of the Syktyvkar Bible School. And many of the elders signed that as well. And I want you to know that they mentioned my name several times. But when they mention my name, it's not just me that they're talking about. They're talking about you too. And I want you to know how appreciative I am. I mean, many of the things they said about me, you obviously know were not true. Okay, so we can just bypass all of those flatteries. But I want you to know that they are so gracious and so thankful to you for your support in allowing me to go and be a part of that. Steve, thank you so much for the topic this morning from Isaiah chapter 44, pretty obscure passage of Scripture that the man from Russia preached on last Sunday. And I made notes on that chapter. So, you know, all the way around the world, when we talk about the gospel and the message, that message resonates with all of us. And they were discussing that last week from the pulpit, and you shared it with us this morning at the Lord's table. What a wonderful thought and something to help us get our minds focused on the Lord's table and maybe off of some of the things of this world. They mentioned here in the letter about family. And we're going to talk a little bit about the family of God today, the church as a family. Now, you can probably go and find a lesson on this with Truth for Today. I think this is where this material came from. This is not original for me, but I found this lesson and studied over it and looked at it and thought, this is wonderful. I don't know who wrote it, or I would give them credit for it. But it's a great lesson, and it helped us to think about this idea of family. And that's something that was very much on my mind as we were studying those things while I was there in Syktyvkar, Russia, with the school. But also as I was able to have the opportunity to be with our Christian brothers and sisters over there in that location. And how wonderful it is to think about the family of God. You know, when I think about the church and the church as a family, I think about how that Jesus loved the church. You can see evidence of this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, because here Paul is writing about husbands and their love for their wives, and embedded in that message about loving your wife, he says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He is trying to present her as a bride without spot or without wrinkle, and he loved her so much. And so it's very apparent and evident there in that passage of Scripture how much Jesus loves the church. And when you think about that, he wants his church to glow. He wants his church to be radiant. He's presenting it as a congregation without spot and without wrinkle. But here's the other thing that I know about that. He wants us to be a family. He wants us to be a family. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take each of the letters from family. And I know you're probably already counting these on your finger, because that will tell you how many points there's going to be to the sermon. We're going to use each letter of the word family to discuss what we should be like in God's family and what we should have and some of the qualities and characteristics that we ought to demonstrate in our lives as the church. The first one that you're going to find is F. F is for fellowship. Thank you, Noah, for reading Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47, because that illustrates the point for us. In verse 42, what do we find out? The church had fellowship. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer, and they continued in fellowship with one another. And we look down a little further in the passage of Scripture, and it says, and daily, from house to house, they were being together in the temple and together eating and just having fellowship with one another. In order for the church to be healthy, then the members need to feel a part of the family. And we need to make one another feel a part of the family. And there needs to be fellowship. And there needs to be this joy in coming together as God's people to worship God each time that we have an opportunity to do that. We need that fellowship with one another. We need to celebrate the family. And we need to spend time together. So often, I'm afraid that people overlooked the great joy and the great blessing and the great benefit of just being together with your Christian brothers and sisters. There is a benefit and there is a blessing that helps draw us closer together with one another and helps us build these relationships and these bonds. And folks, it helps the church be healthy. And we need to spend time together. We need to celebrate our family ties with one another. And so the word fellowship is mentioned here as the first part of this idea of being a family, is that we have fellowship. What about the A? The A stands for attitude. All right, A stands for attitude. And this is our attitude in general as a congregation, as a family. It's our attitude towards one another. And I think it's important for us to realize the significance of having the right kind of attitude. When you think about this in the world, even experts will tell you that having the right kind of attitude is important if you want to succeed. If you don't think that you can do something, then you're not going to be able to do that. You got to have the proper attitude. And so when I think about attitude, I think about us needing to think about things in a positive way. Someone once said, your position tomorrow could well depend upon your disposition today. Did you get that? Your position tomorrow could well depend upon your disposition today. You ask radiant Christians how they are doing, and they'll tell you, just great, but I'm even going to be better eventually. We think positively. You know, there are those folks, though, that pull us down with negative attitudes. And we don't need to have those negative types of attitude. But you understand, and you know that there are people like this, that they can brighten a room by leaving it, right? They're like the ants at the picnic that show up and they're all over everything and you're so aggravated and you're so frustrated by that. There are those types of people in the world. They rain on everybody's parade. No matter what you say, they have something negative to say about it and they shoot you down. But what should our attitude as God's people be like? Our attitude should be like the attitude that Christ had. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, that attitude that he had was to be humble. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. But Jesus' attitude was he wanted to do for other people. You look at verse 4 of Philippians chapter 2. And here Paul admonishes Christians, make sure that you don't just worry about yourself, but you're looking out on the interests of others, and you count others, what? Better than yourself. Better than yourself. How many of us do that? Be quite honest with you, most of us are self-centered, right? Do we give consideration to this attitude that Jesus is demonstrating for us in Philippians chapter 2, where I consider everybody else better than me, and I'm looking out for their interest also? Well, that's the kind of attitude I should have for my brethren in Christ. I'm looking out for them. I'm concerned about them. I have a positive attitude toward them. And I look at people as those who have potential in the kingdom of God, and not as someone that is pulling the church down. So let's see the potential in people, and let's think like Jesus did about people. And let me give you a few examples of this in the Scripture. In John chapter 4, Jesus, he didn't just see a Samaritan woman at the well. What did he see? He saw a Christian. He saw a Christian. And this woman, after having a conversation with Jesus, went into the city and brought a whole bunch of people out to hear him. He saw a Christian, not a woman, Samaritan woman, at a well. When we see the woman caught in adultery, he saw a woman that could be pure again. When he saw a publican, a tax collector, he recognized a gospel writer. And when he saw a man so dead set on persecuting the church, he saw an apostle and missionary. You know, sometimes we focus our attention when it comes to our family and when it comes to things of this life, we focus on the negative oftentimes, and we need to have the right kind of attitude towards one another as the family of God. Let's look at the potential. Let's look at the attributes that they have. Let's look at the positive things that they can bring to the church, and let's celebrate those things, and let's encourage those things, and let's embrace these people. We need to have that attitude like Jesus. And we need to have an attitude as a congregation that's upbeat and positive. The story was told about a sign at the city limits of Millifort, Texas, and it read here, the city of 750 friendly people and three or four old grouches. Well, that's pretty good, ain't it? Now, you talk about those percentages. 750 out of 754 were friendly folks. There's a couple of old grouches, but for the most part, friendly. I recommend that we praise God and that we have the right attitude. I pray that we have the right attitude and a good attitude towards our elders, our deacons, our Bible class teachers, the programs that we are trying to implement here that will benefit the congregation and our future with one another. Let's have the right kind of attitude about all of those different types of things. If we will, then you'll see great changes in our own life and in the health and growth of the congregation. You see, the world is full of negative people. We don't have to be a part of that number, though. We can be positive people. And let's continue to strive to be positive. So when you think about the family of God, A stands for attitude. What about this? M stands for message. What about the message that we have? Well, we've got the good news. The message from God. That's hope. You know, there's one thing that I recognize, and I think that many of you have recognized when we have gone to some different places to do work for the Lord. There are some areas where you just feel like the people there have no hope. There's a mentality there. Well, let me tell you, we've got some good news to give everybody. It doesn't matter what your plight here on this earth is. There is hope for you through Jesus Christ. What a fantastic message to share to everybody in the world. You can be saved. You can be a Christian. And although you may live in difficult circumstances while you're here on this earth, you don't have to live that way forever. Because there's going to be an eternity that's much better than that. And so we have a great message to share with people. We have a message that is powerful. As Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. You think about James chapter 1 and verse 21. And I think I put James 1, 2. I must have missed the one at the end of it. But there James says, put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to what? Save your souls. You go back and you read through the literature or the material that Tony was talking about today in Hebrews chapter 6, and you're going to read there about the good word of God and how it is a powerful thing for us to help change our lives. And that's what James is saying. That's what Paul is writing about in Romans chapter 1. It's a powerful message, and it's a message that will help us change our lives to be able to discern. He talks about the powers of discernment at the conclusion of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. We exercise those powers of discernment so that we can distinguish between what is good and evil. That's what the Word of God allows us to do. It's a powerful message. It helps us to see how we ought to live properly, what is good and what is evil. The early church shared this powerful message. In Acts chapter 2, 8 through 10, the powerful message, the positive message, the good news led to the conversion of so many Christians there on that day of Pentecost. You think about Acts 22, 26. What do we read about there? We read about that message that was shared with the Apostle Paul and his conversion. Now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. After he had heard about Jesus Christ, after he had had an opportunity to be in his presence on the road to Damascus and hear the words that were delivered to him by Ananias, he got up and he became a Christian. That message changed his life. Folks, we got a great message to share as the family of God. Let's share that message. What about the I? The I stands for inspire. Inspire. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to stir up to love and to what? Good works. Did you get that? We are here to be a motivation for one another, to inspire each other as a family to be our best, to love people, to be people who produce good works in our lives. And then he goes on from verse 24 and says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now what is that verse about? It's about encouragement. It's about exhortation. It's about motivation, inspiration. And that's what we've got to be for one another as God's family. I invite you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, we'll look at verse or chapter 5 of this particular text, and then verse 11. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Inspire. We need to be people who are reaching out to those who may need patron, a pat on the back, an encouraging word, a card perhaps, a phone call from someone to encourage them, to inspire them, to help them to be motivated. And so as a family, let's be people that inspire and motivate one another. What about L? The L stands for love. In John chapter 13, verses 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Verse 35 continues, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In 1 John chapter 3 and 18, here he says, "Don't let your love just be verbal. Let us not just love in word, but in what? In deed. In doing those things for one another, in showing and demonstrating our love to each other." And so we've got to be a people that love one another and do great things. Can they say about us what they said about Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus in John 11? "Behold how he loved him." Now, I've been in some places where the brethren did not love each other the way they should. I've observed it. And I've witnessed it, and I'm telling you, it is a disease that destroys a congregation. It could be said of those individuals, those brethren in Christ, "Behold how they despised one another." Folks, that's not the family of God. And you can sit there and call yourself whatever you want to, but let me tell you what you can't call yourself if you despise your brother, and that is a member of the family of God. We've got to love one another. And not just verbally, but in demonstration of our life and our involvement with each other. So let's love. And then finally, Y stands for yearning. We must have a burning desire for our family. Tommy's fixing to sing an invitation song in just a few moments. I know y'all are sitting there thinking, "Well, that's optimistic." But in just a few moments, Tommy's going to sing an invitation song. And in that song, it says, "Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing." One of the lines in that song is this: "Weep o'er the erring ones. Lift up the fallen." Weep for the erring one. Here's my question. When's the last time you wept over a fallen brother or sister in Christ? When's the last time we prayed over the church and were so concerned about its membership and about our brethren? When's the last time that we gave thought to all these things? You know, it's like we were talking about earlier today. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of our life and our activities that we just don't think about. And what Tony said this morning is Bible study. That's certainly part of it. Just squeezes out our time, right? But what about looking out to the interests of our brethren and being concerned and having a yearning? We've got to have a yearning for this family. To love it, to embrace it, to inspire it, to be in fellowship with it. And so this morning, I'm so thankful for this family here at Flint. I'm so thankful for the family of God. So one of the things that was so enjoyable about the trip to Russia that I had is I just get an opportunity to be with our family members in a different location. Also, have the opportunity to observe what a blessing we have here in this family. And I hope that you recognize the blessing that we have. There are many obstacles to some of our family members in different places. They would like to be able to get to a service to worship. They're not in places where they have access to the family of God like we do. And they desire it tremendously, and sometimes we take it take it for granted. I'm thankful for this family. I hope you're thankful for it. Hope that you'll be motivated to be a part of it. Do everything that you can to see that it grows and becomes a beacon for our Father's kingdom. This morning, if you're not a part of this family, we want you to become a part of it. It's the greatest family that you could ever be a part of. And so if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one by responding to the invitation, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and being baptized. And if you've wandered away from the family, it's time to come home. You can make that right with God. You can be restored to the family. You know this family loves you and will embrace you. Let's just strive to do our best to be the family that God wants us to be. So if you have a need to respond, we invite you to do so while we stand and sing.